Hey, everybody. Welcome to This Week in Pre-IPO Stocks podcast. With me, I got Clint Sorensen, Chief Investment Officer at WealthShield, an outsourced CIO and investment research company, and Nick Fusco, CEO of 8View, a pre-IPO secondary market pricing company. All right, fellas. Discord's up first. So news hit this week. Discord's going to start showing ads on their free platform to start driving revenue. They're going to be like paid promotions. They're calling them like sponsored quests. So they're kind of like tied into the game. So not like a hitch in your face, like banner ad or kind of, you know, intrusive ad, something that's kind of integrated into the whole point of Discord, which is, you know, people are playing video games and other folks are watching. But their primary source of revenue is from premium subscriptions. So the ads will be on the free version. And then, of course, they have the premium subscription, which runs from like $3 to $10 a month. Discord's got 200 million active active users. They did 600 million in annualized revenue last year. That's up 3x from 2020. They just laid off 17% of their staff in 2024. I got them at $5.2 billion secondary market valuation. That's down 65% from the last round, which was in September of 2021 at $14.7 billion. So a lot of companies are talking about ads now, right, in their business. So maybe Clint, we'll start with you. Like, what do you think about kind of ad-based businesses? I mean, these guys were subscription-based. Now they're adding ads. Is it dry? Like, obviously they want more revenue, but like, what are your thoughts on that? And then maybe just give me some thoughts on Discord as a business. I'm not sure if you're a user or not, right? But it'd be interesting to hear your thoughts there.
Yeah, not a user. I like the business. Obviously, I've had a lot of user growth. How much of that is free versus paid subscription? I'm not sure, but I think advertising is always a revenue model that a platform can enact. When something is free, borrow this from the social, I think it was the social experiment or whatever that documentary was. But when something's free, you're the product. You have to know that going in as a user, whether it's your data or whether it's your eyeballs, ultimately it's going to be sold to advertisers on a free platform. And I think that's just a revenue engine that Discord should turn on. In their quest for profitability. I like the moves they're making financially. Looks like they are, you know, obviously a very late stage company that has some promise going public when you start to consider their exit track. And I think these are all the right moves.
Okay, got it. So generally positive. So Nick, this is like these guys at 600 million in annualized revenue at a 5.2 billion in the secondary market value. That's an 8.7x revenue multiple, right? I mean, what do you think? Are you kind of seeing similar type numbers, like kind of a $5 billion range for the valuation? And you think that's interesting valuation multiple?
I think it is. It's definitely a bit higher than something like a Snapchat. It's probably right in line with Pinterest. I think I was looking at that yesterday. That's about an 8x. Okay. And when you really think about it and you factor in everything that Clint's speaking about, the marketing, they haven't even tapped the marketing aspect for their free product. So that lends very well to others in the space that are, let's say, in music, like let's say it's Spotify. It's a very clearly defined path. They will make money. And I'm just generally warming to the stock the more it goes down, because it's just really precipitously declined for the last, probably year and a half or two. And when you look at the other business models that they have for generating revenue, you hit on what they call Nitro or Nitro Classic, that range between where you start to pay and you're getting server boosting. And that means you could do kind of faster refreshes, or you can have larger files rolling through, like video, images, things like that. It's all very, very cool. But they do, because I know we've discuss some things in the gaming industry in and around Epic Games. They also have a partnership with game developers where kind of like an, I don't want to call it the app store, but they're the same idea where you're taking a 10% cut of things that can get developed within the community. Mm. I think that's really powerful. You're starting to see these communities of people that are much more enamored with each other internally, and there's a lot more dialogue and in some cases, Discord, pun intended. Just like Pinterest, you know, like, sorry, not just like Reddit, rather, where people are really charged up and collaborating and kind of having a lot of discussion there. I think you have the same thing going on with Discord. which naturally should kind of have a larger inherent value as well. So I'm definitely warming to it. I think they're doing a lot of interesting things, and that $600 million, that's a really strong continued growth from where they were. I mean, in 2016, this is from Contrary Research, they had a $5 million revenue, grew it to $130 million in 2020, and then continued to go. And I think 2022 was something around 450. And now you're saying it's 600. So, yeah. I mean, these guys are doing great. Revenue growth wise, it's very impressive. So that 8X, to come back to that, I think is also, when you see it commensurate to some of the other public comparables, and it's still being a private company, that's super reasonable. There's nothing crazy going on here.
Yeah, I mean, it's an attractive bit. I mean, this is the thing that I'm seeing across a lot of pre-IPO stocks, right? I mean, they obviously, many came out in 2021, like these guys did, and really kind of top ticked on the valuation side. And obviously, right, they've had depressed, gotten beat up in the secondary market. But the businesses have like really performed over the last 3 years and delivered really solid results. And then they had the 17% staff layoff. I mean, so they're tightening the belt and they're running a more efficient business and operation. They're continuing to grow revenue like really high. And now they have this, like, I think, much more reasonable revenue multiple. It just kind of makes for a kind of an interesting, you know, number. Like Clint, like I know this is back in the envelope math, but if you took $6, you know, per month, you know, not many of those, that's $600 million are paying customers, right? You know what I mean? So, you know, $6 per month is 72. And if you take $600 million, right, divided by 72 is like 8.3 million people paying on 200 million,
200 using million platform. Users.
Yeah, like a lot of opportunity for increased revenue. So even from there alone, like, you know, this thing could really, really take off. A lot of people bounce
around. I think you can justify the multiple. You can absolutely justify the multiple. I mean, especially when you have cops like Truth Social, which that's kind of a joke. But
don't go there.
I mean, trading like absurd valuations relative to the revenue. It's making like $4 million in revenue.
I know.
Trading at the same level as as Discord, which is pretty absurd.
Get you away from the Truth Social commentary, but you do see for the last couple of quarters, ARK has marked it up, Fidelity has marked it up, and BlackRock has also marked it up. So no funds are actually remarking at a lower level. So that's a really positive sign, I would say, as well.
See, that's great. Like IPO. Now you're talking IPO. Like you start to see stuff like that happening, right? You know, you just got, I think, get the existing venture capital funds that got in at that, you know, $14.7 billion. They got to be able to stomach, you know, this kind of new valuation level. But those are positive signs, I think. Okay, so generally positive on Discord. All right, let's jump to Shein. Okay, so Shein's a fast fashion company, right? If you don't know what that is, you kind of go on there, you buy stuff, and then they actually make it after you put the order in, and then they ship it to you, right? So it's an interesting business model. But they're a China company. They're now out of Singapore, but most of the operations are in mainland China. But they sell to customers outside of mainland China. So really kind of interesting business. They did $45 billion in gross merchandise value last year. That is an unbelievable amount of money. They did a $2 billion in profit in 2023. That's up 185% from 2022. So these guys are making a lot of money. They are looking to IPO. They're waiting on the Chinese securities regulator to give them the green light to do that. I got 37% owned by the founder, which is awesome. I love that. Sequoia China's in, General Atlantic, and Mutabala, which is the Abu Dhabi Sovereign Wealth Fund, are also big shareholders there. And then lastly, they got $66 billion valuation as of the last round in May of 2023. That's down 34% from their October of 22 round, which is at $100 billion valuation. I don't really see these guys trade in the secondary market. There's been a little bit I've been seeing from brokers, but not much outside of that. So I don't know how they kind of float around the $66 billion number. That's like a year old almost, right? But Nick, maybe we'll start with you. Like, what do you think of Shein as a business? It seems like these companies always have this like China overhang, like ByteDance is like that too, right? Tons of profit. It's incredible business. And then, but maybe not so much on the, you know, maybe not so much on the valuation side. At least the multiple's got to be pretty low if they're doing $2 billion in profit. That's got to be, I would think, sub 10x revenue multiple, right?
Right. So I think it is an interesting point you bring up with the China overhang. We talked about that before. That's beating up like every one of these Chinese companies. But when you rip the face off of Zara, you're ripping the face off of H&M. I mean, the business model is different, but how the labor construct is working, anything that's fast fashion is not getting done in, let's say, the best conditions possible for the workers' rights and distribution and everything like that, right? So
right.
It is an interesting one that a company like this will just get beat on pretty heavily for being exactly what they are instead of trying to greenwash or hide it or anything like that. And then to your point, from the secondary market, we see very much the same, a lot of disparate offers and bids. I mean, the inconsistency of which we see the data come in for this has a significant, significantly larger distribution or standard deviation from one bid to offer to the next. So yeah, there's no way to really put your finger on a perfect mark here. We do have a price with multiple contributors, but without also understanding the number of shares outstanding in a good way, it's very hard to put a valuation number on that as well. So yeah, a lot going on and a lot that remains unseen. But so, great cap table. I would definitely say that.
Yeah, interesting cap table for sure. So Clint, right. This company's doing great, right? But it's one of these Chinese companies. What are your thoughts on these pre-IPO stock companies like Shein, Asia, right?
I'm a bull on Asia. I'm a bull on international period, especially relative to the US. I mean, and sure, there may be some premium warranted, but when we're looking at our valuations in the US, I'm just going to talk public markets for a second. But when you're talking about whether it's cyclically adjusted price to earnings ratios, market cap to GDPs, average investors allocation to equities, no matter what metric, price to sales, right? In the top 10 names or price to revenue rather, they're at nosebleed sections. They're at the highest we've ever recorded, right? We've had this quality flight on a global industrial, I'm not going to use the word recession because that's up to the NBER and the powers that be to make that determination. But in a growth slowing environment, had a huge flight to quality trade. And I think that's benefited the US and US companies and stretched multiples on high quality companies. And you see that in the pre-IPO space as well, that relative difference. I am a huge, I'm optimistic on the opportunities in Asia and Asia pre-IPO equities in particular. I mean, this is a great company. The valuation is a little squirrely to Nick's point. I mean, I don't know how you arrive at this, but what is next year's earnings? What's their five-year earnings growth rate? Is it going to match what it was last year, 185%? Is it going to be 100%? Right. I mean, when you start to really run that math and you're looking at five-year forward earnings being a considerable, right? And I don't have visibility into that. 33 times, you know, trailing earnings doesn't seem that high for a profitable pre-IPO company with an awesome cap table, as you guys mentioned, great institutional ownership and a great business model, right? Growing like crazy. So, and when you start to factor in the cheapness on a relative basis from a country perspective, the macro lines up really well from the long term for me. So I like this company. I like the general theme. I think you can make a lot of mistakes on companies if you can get that macro relative valuation play right over the long term. And I think China's PMIs are increasing, right? So China's starting to see some kind of coming out of the ashes, right? The rise of the phoenix of China. And I know there's demographic issues and a number of other things, but I think there's some optimism that I'm seeing from a business cycle perspective that also is intriguing. So yes, I like it. Relative valuation is intriguing. Business cycle, everything kind of lining up to support Chinese pre-IPO companies or just Asia pre-IPO companies. I know you said Singapore, but we know the connections with China.
Yeah. I mean, this Shein and ByteDance are two of the largest pre-IPO stocks in the world, right? I mean, ByteDance is like 270 billion-ish, and then Shein's at 66. Shein's top five, right? So, and ByteDance is number one. It's just fascinating to me is if you look at the metrics and the fundamentals of these businesses relative to their valuations, they're like very low, I think. And it kind of this like I, it's just the only thing I could think of. It's just this China overhang is what doesn't it just for whatever reason, investors just aren't willing to give these guys the same nod as they would give like a U.S. company doing delivering similar fundamentals. Right.
Nvidia is the same market cap, greater market cap than the entire Chinese stock market. Think about that for a second.
Yeah, that's wild.
That is your relative valuation example. Case in point.
Yeah. Yeah. Second largest economy in the world, right? Probably on its way to being the largest. Yeah, I mean it's really fascinating to me. So it's going to be interesting to see when ByteDance goes public and Shein goes public, where they go public, and then what kind of ultimately the result is. But I mean, even the Chinese publicly traded kind of tech stocks have gotten beaten up, and they really haven't come back, right? So, yeah, it's just these two companies are going to be interesting to keep your eye on and see how they're going to do here over the next couple of years. But this IPO seems like it's coming sooner than later. ByteDance, maybe we get a TikTok spin out, TikTok USA spin out, which I'm a buyer of that, which we talked about before. But
maybe Mnuchin will use True Social and do some sort of arbitrage and buy them.
Oh, I'd gobble that. I'd gobble up a TikTok US only. Yeah, for sure. But okay, let's switch. Okay, yeah, that's right, man. No SPACs. No more SPACs. Right. Okay. All right. So last up is Kraken. So Nick, I know you guys did some work on this at 8View on Kraken. So maybe I'll hand it off to you. Go ahead. Kick us off.
Great stuff. So Kraken is a leading cryptocurrency exchange. Really, with the resurgence of crypto, we've seen a significant amount of activity on the secondary market come back to Kraken. So we thought that it was relatively poignant to bring it up today. We've published some research on apeview.com if everyone wants to look. Half of that is free. And then really looking at the upside here with the market coming back, so long as they continue to survive and grow and thrive, I mean, they are making all the right moves, unveiling a qualified custody solution for the cryptocurrencies that's available across the U.S. So really being able to throw big competition up to Coinbase, which makes us a substantial amount of money off of that. And then there was the Attorney General's claim to claiming the SEC has overstepped their lawsuit against Kraken. So more good news for the company. But when you're really looking at this on a relative sense to something like a Coinbase, I would say it's significantly undervalued. Now, naturally, there's a lot of volatility within the cryptocurrency market. And then you pair that with the lack of relative liquidity on a private stock like a Kraken. It makes up for some of that, and you can understand it. But this is one we just want to give a shout out. I like it a lot, given that the crypto market has come back quite strongly.
So Clint, what do you think, man? What do you think of Kraken? I mean, I know you're a blockchain. You like blockchain technology and decentralization, right? I mean, Kraken's kind of operates in this exchange, kind of coin exchange space. Like, what are your thoughts on this type of a business in kind of the crypto ecosystem, if you will?
Yeah, I like the business. I think it's important. I think it's going to continue to grow. I mean, look, you've got major players in there backing crypto now. It's not going away. Even if, I don't want to rush out and buy the unvaxxed sperm coin or whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
whatever meme coin of the day. I mean, you get just ridiculous speculation in these markets. But I do think that it's attracting. Tokenization is just beginning. I think these firms like Coinbase, like Kraken, that are really the setup of I throw Gemini in there too, but multi-dimensional. They have custody arms, they have trading arms, they have institutional arms, direct to retail. I think they are set up to be the platforms because look, let's face it, that is required. I know there's a lot of purists out there say, hey, put it on your hard wallet, keep it in your possession, get it off exchanges. Yeah, I mean, I can see the logic, but if you are running a fund and you're doing arbitrage trading and you're doing a lot of things to cap trend trading, whatever, to capitalize on the volatility of these markets and to earn substantial, there's substantial opportunity to earn high compounded rates of return in just trading and arbitrage strategies.
Right.
You need good institutional quality in organizations like Kraken to participate right. with. And I think this is a great business case, great company. I'm definitely a bull on all things blockchain, except for the unvaxxed sperm coin and things like that. But I'm definitely a bull on this and crypto. I think it's here to stay.
Yeah. I mean, look, this business, I think, got a lot more interesting when FTX went away and Binance kind of went away, right? I mean, there were several of these exchanges that just got blown away. Like
that were frauds. Maybe,
yeah, you're
I mean, well, I can't speak right. on Binance, but borderline, yeah. you had a massive fraud.
Yeah.
And that didn't take down crypto. If no. anything was going to take down and erase crypto, that was the crypto winner. I think with the ETFs coming online, with big institutions like BlackRock stepping up, I think this is the heyday for these organizations. And so I think Kraken is a buy here for sure.
Yeah, I think we have
some older data. Again, this is from Contrary Research. So shout out to those guys. Check them out. Very good for just kind of holistic numbers, revenue figures for some of these private companies. They said trading volume grew. From $50 billion in 2019, doubled to in 2020, and then in 2021 they had $600 billion, and that's kind of just quite good if you mirror the broader activity in the crypto market, and then you think about what's really occurring now when all the big funds are in and they really need to have the appropriate custody, have the appropriate valuations. You know, this is really where you're seeing those top players are going to thrive. So you're going to have your Coinbases and Krakens and Crypto.com and whoever else is remaining standing, like a Gemini, as you mentioned, right? That becomes extremely important. And then if you run the numbers, it's funny. I pulled up Coinbase on Yahoo Finance. They're from a revenue perspective, revenue multiple, they're at a 20, and a PE, they're at a 61. And these guys are at like a 3.
Like, yeah.
So really wild stuff. So I think there's a good opportunity here if you're able to get involved, and we see a lot of active bids and offers in the secondary.
Yeah, the one thing I'd like to see with this company and a lot of these other crypto related names is just like this SEC, like they have this lawsuit with the SEC, right? It just would be interesting to see them get on the other side of that, right? So, but as an investor, I mean, this is probably why some of the valuations depressed. Like if you think they're going to come out on the other side of that unscathed, this is a really interesting opportunity to kind of to get in and take advantage of a depressed valuation. But I mean, if they got
even slightly scathed, right?
Yeah.
Like I think that's priced in. I think that's the case, priced up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I think them getting scathed is priced in. And so you got, you know, if it's less bad. Yeah, then the market kind of is pricing in. I think it's a substantial opportunity. Right. What's Peter Lynch say? He says when a company gets less bad, its price goes up. When it goes from less bad to good, right, its price goes up some more. When it goes from good to great, sell it.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's only one way to go then. I'm with you on that. Yeah, it's a very interesting business. I like they're taking market share. Like my buddies in the crypto space like really like this name. So it's certainly an interesting business. But okay, three good ones today, fellas. I appreciate the time. Any parting thoughts?
Yeah, we were too
anything
positive.
Else on your mind?
We're just loving everything. Easter know. Spirit just kicking in.
There's a sentiment measure in here.
I mean, there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, this stuff's been depressed for a long time, right? And now, but they're delivering good results. It's like kind of what I mentioned earlier. They're delivering good results, so it's like interesting to it's an interesting entry point, you know, for a lot of these companies, I think.
I mean, venture managed through the fastest rate hike cycle in history. They made like the companies that are around now, they managed through that. The funding mechanism is completely broken. And so I think the way they navigated and addressed that cycle for the companies that are still around and have shown growth I think there's some big opportunities still left in the space for sure.
Well, I will tell you this. I was talking with somebody this morning. So Reddit's IPO did well. And also there was another company called Astera Labs, which does like kind of GPU, like, or not GPU, but they do like database, cloud database infrastructure components and technology, right? So that you can run like AI solutions. It's very much an AI, like kind of picks and shovels play. They did even better than Reddit in their IPO last week. So what kind of could be interesting to see here is perhaps the venture capital, to your point around the funding mechanism, Clint, like they're almost more conservative now than the public markets. So you have this like secondary market that maybe is overly more conservative to where the public market demand or appetite is, which is what we've been seeing. Like tech came back in a big way over the last year and a half, and it hasn't really happened in the private market. So now it's like things might have reset properly. And this where we're seeing the secondary market is maybe a little bit behind now where the public markets is. So there could be, again, interesting opportunity, right, to perhaps have an investment thesis on this particular asset class. But okay, very good. Fatless, let's end it there. I appreciate your time. You guys have a good week, okay?
See you guys.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, gentlemen.